Well, good evening, everybody, and thanks for coming out on a cold night.
Is there an itching up, Barry?
Good evening.
And you could bring your own tea and coffee.
Yeah.
Has anybody got anything they'd like to say or ask that is not on the agenda for this evening? Lynn?
I've just got a couple of quick things that I'm asking for on behalf of Jo, because she couldn't come this evening.
Okay.
So there are things that you would remember her ask. Well, one is, so Brian, if she hasn't heard from the Environment Agency, and I guess you haven't.
No.
Water quality at Barnsley, Brook and Hersey.
Yep.
So the first request is, could you please...
Give them a nudge.
Follow that yep. up.
Yeah.
Okay. And the second one is the path on the seaward side of the wall at the Dover needs clearing. Roy, I think Jo thought you might know something about this.
Yes, I did. I had a question to say. We had a lady there trying to clear all the stones off Jo Mimo's life.
Yes.
And Jo says she does it for exercise. Don't stop her, Roy. Because I did suggest that we got the community bad boys down there to remove it all. But Jo said, no, that's not the thing we should do. She's happy doing it. So if we've got a happy soldier, can we leave it with her then?
Yeah.
She has cleared quite a lot now.
Do you think, Leonard, we could do the area in the Esplanade where shells and pebbles have been knocked over there, just on the other side of the old fort? That bit's quite...
What, Crane Slip?
No, no, the Esplanade itself. If you walk along there, the road
is
covered. Yeah. It's quite good to brush that in a way and back on the beach.
Yeah. Yes, it would, wouldn't it? Okay. Lynn?
Yes, just to add, thanks, Roy. I mean, Jo did mention that this lady is doing it, but she said that it's usually done annually before Easter by the council. So I think it was really to ask if that's actually going to be done. Because I think, notwithstanding this lady is doing some, I think quite a significant portion of that wall.
Could we get a working party to do it, do you think? Could we get a working party to do it with us councillors to go down and help? That would be good.
We're all getting
Happy to go down.
But why not me and Pete can do it, help-ish, sort of.
Can I say, the council used to do it. Jonathan said to me that the council were supposed to do it, but they didn't do it last year. So hence, because they didn't do it last year, perhaps they're thinking they don't need to do it this year. Perhaps we have to give them a nudge, Brian.
Yeah. I've made a note. I will ask them because it's their responsibility and they're meant to have the coastal engineering team meant to take care of it. I know Luke's moved on, but Peter Larson's still there. Yeah.
If we have somebody doing it, and if we have that lady doing it, and she has an accident or something happens to her, because, it's awkward moving all those stones, and she's done a wonderful job.
Yeah.
But it should be done professionally and not by one of us, or not by one of the parish. I know we're there to help, but that is a big job, because next week it might all be back again.
Well, how lucky we are. There is a team that exists, and officially it's their job, so I will let them know there's a problem with it. There we go.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
Thanks,
you, everyone.
Brian.
Any more before we get into the meeting? Anyone else? No? Okay, well, thank you. I haven't got any comments to make. Apologies for absence. Is that just busy?
Just biz.
Okay, well, we wish her well. Has anybody got any declaration, personal prejudicial interests? Sally?
Well, I think the old fort, really.
Sorry?
The old fort.
Oh, the old fort. Well, okay. Well, yeah.
The old fort, yeah. All
right.
Planning application, you mean, yeah.
And I've got a planning one... Because the house is directly opposite my house.
Oh, 50 Solent View.
50 Solent View. Becky?
Yeah, planning 110-183-89-265.
Oh, it's that thing. I have to slow down. This is very exciting. Sorry, Becky. Sorry.
Planning 110-183.
89.
Yeah.
265.
Yeah. And 335. You moonlight as a planning consultant.
So none of those are pecuniary interest, though, are they?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Right, Brian, I've got the fort.
Yeah.
I have obviously got the four because they are a sponsor for me, for the football club. So yeah. we have donations of the kit, and that's money concerned. So I have to declare that, the all four.
Okay, anyone else?
Do I need to declare the fourth as well? Because I use the fourth. I don't know, but would that be... No?
Don't think so, no.
Okay, okay, I just thought... Sport, don't
they? A, okay, yeah. And also, if I need to... Anything as I go along, I'll do that as I go along.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
That's it, okay. So, to approve the minutes of the previous two PC meetings are the normal one and the extraordinary one.
Yeah.
I'll
propose it.
Okay, well, I think Dave proposed it. Would you like to second it, Dan?
I'll second it, yeah, no problem.
Okay, let's have a vote then, guys.
Okay.
All right, that's carried. Thank you.
Thank you. And the extraordinary meeting.
I'll propose it.
Thank you, Dan.
I'll second it.
Thank you very much. And all those in favour or otherwise?
Thank you. It looks like it's carried as well. Thanks very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Brian, your report, please.
Thank you. So, the notice of election for the parish council elections on May the 6th have been issued by the Electoral Services team and the Isle of Wight Council. Details can be found on our website, and it's also on one of the notice board ones in Madeira Road if people want to go and see it physically. At the last meeting, a resident reported the doors of Seagrove Bay toilets had become swollen. Clean White Cleaning, our contract cleaners have shaved and sealed the doors at a cost of £12.64. So hopefully that will keep us going for quite a while again. I'll just let everyone know I'll be on holiday for the last week of March, the 29th of March, for a week. It's the first week of the school holidays. So hopefully I'll spend some quality time with my daughter doing something other than homeschooling, which will be nice. Now they've gone back, it'll be nice not to have to talk about maths or English. So from last week, Kerryfield's play area, in consultation with the environment officer, the play area has been reopened, but the area in front of and behind the goals has been taped off until it dries out further. And that's still, after the rain at the end of last week, was still a bit damp today, unfortunately, but hopefully not long, and we'll be able to let people get on there with a softball and have a game as well. Seaview Dinghy Park, further to the members agreeing a freeze on permit fees for the coming season, renewal letters have been sent to existing customers and responses are beginning to be received. We've had over a dozen in now, which is good, so we're making money already. The May 2021 elections, I wrote to the Isle of Wight Council requesting that residents are proactively sent postal voting forms by the council, but Clive Joins wrote back to explain that this would not be possible due to the complexity of administration required and the potential for confusion by residents in receipt of blanket communications. With regards to footpath R68, which is the one at the bottom of Solent View Road, I wrote to the Rights of Way team. They have escalated this with Island Roads, and I don't think they've had a response yet, but they believe Island Roads should be doing something with it. We'll see
what happens. Brian, sorry to interrupt you. They have put a very large cone in the hole.
Oh, have they? Oh, well, that's sorry. Well, I didn't know they'd done anything. Well, how exciting.
Well, I only noticed that a couple of days ago. It's obviously not that large.
Yeah. Well, obviously, they're planning on doing something now, but that's obviously to stop someone having a nasty... Well, that's good. Yeah. There we go. Excellent. And finally, the Nettleston Hill footpath, I know this was mentioned before the meeting. I wrote to the Rights of Way team about that as well. They instructed Island Roads to replace them, as they should have done a few months ago, and this has now been completed. So, and that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay. Dave, planning.
Sorry. Sorry, can I come in?
Yes, probably. Sorry, Dave.
About the election, are we using the Seagrove Pavilion or are we using Nettleston School?
No. Pavilion and the Seagrove Yacht Club.
We're using the Yacht Club, but are we using the Pavilion and not the School?
We've agreed mitigation with the council and they're going to put in floor coverings, they're having marshals, all sorts of things, which didn't go very well last time.
Right, so the school is not being attended.
As you know, they pretty well trashed the place, didn't they, because it was raining and it was muddy. And it was difficult.
It was also difficult on cars coming in and out as well.
So yes, the pavilion and yes, the yacht club.
Right. Just let you know, Roy, the rationale behind the school is going to be used in the long term, and they wanted, the electoral services team wanted to use it this time, but unfortunately the big government, Boris Johnson government, basically has asked all electoral services teams to leave schools alone until the pandemic is finished, because they don't want to somehow...
A few people thought the school was being used, that's all. The residents up there thought it was. I did suggest another venue, but it wasn't really considerable, and that was the roadside inn, whether or not it was clean and clear, and whether or not we could have gone in and out as quick as possible. Yeah.
I think Di wants to say something.
Yeah, can I just say that I don't disagree with the schools at the moment with all the problems that are going on. I think, you know, with the COVID, I think that we really need to be careful with the children and adults going in. So I really, this year, I don't think it's a problem. But I'm just so glad that they've actually put it back to two sites in the villages, which is a very positive move for me. Yeah. I'm really pleased. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'd agree with the same thing. I mean, thankfully, the response we had is that's the main part. Is we understand for the school for the COVID, but we're back to two within the ward where the Isle of Wight Council officer only wanted one. So I think that's the important part going forward.
Okay. Okay. Wait, Dave. Sorry, mate.
That's all right. No problem. All right. Planning. Delegated decisions. The Chute, Dully Road, Nettlestone. Decision granted. St Peter's Church, Church Street Seaview, decision granted. St Peter's Church again, change of use for the ground floor meeting room of the hall to the self-contained flat, prior approval granted. Land rear of number 5 to 12 Mulberry Way Ride, granted. Don't quite know where that is, something to do with us. Pier House, Pier Road Seaview, replacement sea wall, granted. 42 Horstone Drive, Nettlestone. Demolition of conservatory, granted. Park Farm, Bullen Road, Nettlestone. Removal of conditions 3 and 4. Refused. So, no change of use.
Dave, just so you know, the Mulberry Way stuff, that's up at Bullen. It's some trees behind the newer estate up there.
Oh, gotcha.
It was a tree, tree works.
Fine, it was obviously something to do with us. It was on.
Yeah.
It's right, applications for consideration. Firstly, Bullen Mead, Bullen Road. Now, this is demolition of retail barn and glass houses, retail horticulture garden centre, the proposed two detached dwellings with associated landscaping, garage and amenity outbuilding. Now, this was the old Maid on the Isle of Wight site. And I've had a look through it. I can't see anything to object to it on. It's one of my main concerns up there. Just an issue with the drainage. I think they've addressed it because there's no main drainage up there. And there's also an issue which Island Road's commented on. I think in the first application there was an issue with the access because of its proximity to the junction. But they've addressed that because they've now moved it back down that little lane, and there's going to be an in and an out exit to the site. And just looking through it, design and access statements don't mean much really, they're all prone to being changed. But I believe the site has dropped from an initial proposal of 6 houses down to 2. And my view is, I feel we should support this. I think it's in keeping with what's up there. And
I I agree to that, Dave.
Anyone else, any opinions?
I agree totally with that. I think that it's, I think it would be a really good site, and I don't have a problem with it at all, and I'd like to support it.
Yeah. It's just wasted, isn't it? Why not have something?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, can we have
previously, the main concern was on the main road, the access. So, as Island Rose have said, and the applicant has moved that into the lane, so it now becomes safer because there's already cars coming onto that junction from all the existing properties in that lane anyway.
But it might slow that awful bend down, you know, the one we just, Reg got some chevrons.
The chevrons on there now. That's much better now.
I just don't understand why people always seem to come round the wrong side on it.
Just a small point of concern, which may be nothing to do with that. I've noticed up there that there's some mature trees being cut down.
On that corner.
And I just wonder if they was cut down in relation to this application. And I find if it has, I know with no protection on these trees, if there's no TPOs on them, but I'm a little public concern if they've been cut down and removed.
We've got somebody here representing this application, Dave. Two people, actually.
Okay. If they'd like to have a word, I'm happy for them to have a word.
Yeah. Well, Robin.
Yeah, as far as the trees opposite me, that I think those are Goldings.
I think so, yeah. They are sitting on the side of the road.
And I'm pretty sure that they were cut down following instructions from Island Road.
Yeah, I understand they were diseased.
Yeah.
So they've lopped them all the way down their field, in fact. They're nothing to do with me.
Okay, Robin, that's fine. It was just something I noticed, and I just like, we're just trying to get around this where landowners are like just cutting down trees.
Sure.
When there's wind,
that'll come up a bit later, won't it?
But you've answered.
Okay, so can we have a proposer then?
I think thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be seconded.
All those in favour?
Yeah, thank that's you, carried. Support. Thank you.
It'll be good to see that done, that site. It'll be better than it is now.
I think it'll be amazing. I think it's just brilliant.
Yeah, it's a wonderful site. Thank
you, so, Robin.
Well, if you remember, we had Mrs. Matteson came down to try and tell us that we have the five houses, which would have been a lot on that corner. I think now Robin's plans on that are excellent. I have seen the what's going to be done. So well done, Robin.
Thank you, Roy.
Dave.
I agree.
Right, we move on. Right, the second one, the old fault. We have two on the old fault, which I will deal with them one after the other, just while we're on it.
Yeah.
Firstly, the first one is change of use of first floor residential class 3, class C3 to cafe restaurant, class E, brackets B. Now, we're all familiar with the fault, as we was all mentioning earlier. And again, I've nothing really to say on this one, except that I think we should give it our full support. And I support it. It's a... I use it, I don't want to sound biased, on the odd occasion when I've been there, I've sat upstairs, and I think we should support this business. It's that's it.
We've been supporting anything that promotes business and jobs in the parish, haven't we? And this must do that, having more room to serve meals.
The important part too, though, previously, because I've been up there to a function, it's a good-sized room, it's... The facility it used to have, you could have meetings there with meals, etc. So it's only going to be good for bringing back the supporting the community and regeneration of the CVU. So, you know, I believe we should support it 100%.
Quite interesting.
Do people remember back when Clive was the landlord there? Because you could eat up there in those days.
That's right. And my wife's uncle used to own the fort. And he had it variously as accommodation and as a restaurant upstairs. If you remember, the kitchen was upstairs, the main kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, now,
my mother used to do it now. And my nephew.
Well, fortunately, what they've done upstairs is excellent because they've removed the existing kitchen that was there and bathrooms, and it will make a good function room now, whereas before it was split up into a smaller area. There was a flat up there that Robert Hall had. He's no longer there. So I think the senators are making a goal to make that work quite well. I think, Dave, you are also going to throw in another part of a planning application for the storage at the rear.
I was, but finish this one off first because of the budget.
I'll propose.
Thank you, Councillor Ward.
Sorry.
I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favour then?
Yeah, that's supported, thank you.
Okay. Right, the second one, as Roy quite rightly said, this one is for proposed single storage unit to the rear. Now, at the moment, there's a metal shed there, and basically all this is, it's very similar design and everything. It's just slightly larger. I think if we look at the floor space, it's probably 2.5 times larger. But I believe in the location it's in, I don't believe it's unsightly, or I don't believe it's detrimental to anything that's going on around there. And there's no comments on it. And again, I'd like to give it my full support.
Okay. proposer?
Happy to do that.
Okay. And a
yeah, happy to support it. I'll second it.
Okay.
So Mike proposed, Dye second. And that's well, carried as well.
I should say.
Sorry, Roy.
Thanks, Dave.
Right, the next one. Flat 2, Madeira House. Demolition of conservatory, bathroom extension alterations. Proposed 2 single story extensions. Now, I'm not quite familiar. I'm not familiar with this property. Looking at the drawings, it's quite an increase of the size in the footprint. But there appears to be, I think, finished. I think the finish on it is fine. Looking at the drawings I've got, I can't see any problem at all with the materials and the finish. If I've got any query, it's just a query of the size of the footprint. But whether that's a valid point to refuse it on, I don't know. Has anyone got any input they can add to that?
Well, I've seen it, Dave, and I think the situation is it would be a great improvement to the property. Mm-hmm. The property does need an upgrade, and I think what will be done there will be an advantage all the way around, from the rear, the side, and the back. So long as there's no increase of height on it, and I don't think there is, it's all the same.
No. It looks well in keeping, Roy. It looks an improvement. It's going to.
I'm sure it's going to be. It will be an improvement.
Yeah.
Are there any objections?
No objections.
No objections. Okay.
And your recommendations then, Dave? Okay.
I'd recommend we go with that. We support that.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Who proposed it?
I think Councillor Adams proposed it.
And I'll second it.
And then a vote, please.
There we go.
Thank you. Support. Thank you.
Right, number 1, Cause Avenue. Proposed balcony by existing dormer window. Again, with this, it's very much in keeping with what's going on around there, really. I don't believe it overlooks anyone. I'm not.
Lovely view again, over Sophie Watson's.
Sorry?
A lovely view over Sophie Watson's.
Yeah. It's again, in my opinion, I don't think it's out of keeping around there. There's no comments. I don't think it's not overly big. And I propose that we support that as well.
Okay. A seconder, please.
Thank you, Councillor Rivlin.
Who seconded it, Sally or Roy?
I'll second it. Roy.
Sally did.
Say something, Sally.
No.
Oh, sorry, was Sally saying something? Sorry.
No, I said I put
you my hand up. You said
Okay. Sorry. Roy, ladies first. Should we have a vote?
Yes, sir.
Let's have a vote. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, it's carried. It carries as well. Thank you.
All right, the next one, 50 Solent View Road. Proposed alterations and extensions along the eastern and northern elevations, wrapping around the northwest corner. Right, this one. I think this one is way too big. I think it's overdevelopment. They're doubling the footprint of the size of the original building, and that concerns me because it's not a normal extension by any shape or means. And I think looking at the elevations, the existing and the proposed elevations, I just think it's overly big, and I think it's overdevelopment. And if we're not careful, all those houses around there, I believe the way they've been laid out with these large bits of grass at the front, and I may be a bit biased here now because 200 yards down the road, I own one. But I particularly like on them the way they're spaced out at the front. And it just gives the date a sense of openness and a feeling of space, a little bit of spatial awareness down there. I think if we're not careful and we keep sanctioning too many of these, that space is going to dwindle and be gone. So I just think it's something we need to consider, because these extensions are getting bigger and bigger, and I'm not against anyone trying to extend and improve, but in this case, I would like us to oppose this. I believe it's overdevelopment.
Yeah. I just think also, Dave, I mean, obviously I declare an interest because it's right opposite my front door. My concern is that it floods on a fairly regular basis, and we've had the fire brigade down here because of the slope of it. It then swoops right into an underground, well, what appears to be an underground drive. The building is on top of that, of course. And we've had the fire brigade down here pumping a mate from time to time. And if you were actually put living accommodation there, you could have even more dramas than just a wet garage.
Oh.
But anyway, that's been my experience of it. But I do agree with you. I think it's...
well, the flooding,
isn't it? No, I oppose it as well, Barry.
I agree as well.
So the proposal is to object on the grounds of overdevelopment.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And should we put the concern about flooding as well?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
environmental issues as well.
Well, yeah, the flooding will probably increase because the fact that they're removing, you know, ground, which is like should be to an extent, even if it's clay, is it should be naturally draining a bit. So if they're doubling the footprint, I would imagine the flooding is going to increase.
But it looks far too large.
At the bottom, as you know, at the bottom, there's a balancing pond. They call it seagull gap. But when that actually fills up so quick, because the runoff comes through, it can't get out of the balancing pond into the gully fast enough, and that's what causes the flooding of that property.
Right.
Okay. So at the moment, there was a proposal to object on grounds of overdevelopment and the environmental issues associated with flooding in the area.
Is that you seconding it, Roy?
Yes, it is.
Okay, can we have a vote then, please?
Okay, let's support it, that the objection is carried. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Right, Horsestone Cottage, Priory Road. Removal of condition number 3, which restricts the holiday cottage occupation to a maximum 6-week period. Now, I know last month we opposed one of these, but this month I support this one. I think Paul Stack's done a very fair appraisal here. And in relation to the cottages, which there's a estate on here, which normally relates to these holiday buildings, because they're not normally up to a standard for full-time residential. But that quite clearly isn't the case for these properties here. So without delving into it too much and reading it back verbatim, word for word, I'd like to propose that we support this one. I can't see any reason why we shouldn't.
Somebody like to second that? Or have a comment?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay.
Seconded. Okay.
Okay, a vote then, please.
It looks like that's carried as well. The support is carried.
We've got to remember these conditions were very, very old, and they needed.
Was old on that one, Roy. Yeah, that was old. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that will get supported. That one. Thank you, Dave.
Right. This next one. Former Harcourt stands again. Approval of reserve matters on P/00573/15. For appearance and landscaping of the first 14 units. Right, this one, it's I found on here, and I didn't delve into too much detail with all the rest of it. I won't lie, I didn't delve into any of the detail, because once I read the Island Road submission, I think we have a very valid case here, just to support what Island Road are saying. They have concerns. Has everybody read this representation?
Some of it.
Right, if I can just read out a bit of it, there's condition 6. No development, including site clearance or demolition, shall take place until a phasing plan for the development has been submitted to and agreed in writing by the local planning authority. The development shall be constructed in the phases identified by the plan, unless otherwise agreed in writing. Right, without going into too much detail, if I get down to the end, the critical points on it, what it gets to is, this then raises the question as to when the off-site highway improvements, as detailed on drawings number blah, 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 wherever it's A, blah, 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 stroke 3, referenced within condition 3 of P stroke 00573 stroke 15, which is this, are proposed to be delivered. It then goes on to say, the off-site highway improvements, as shown on drawing blah, 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 and blah, 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 were required on highway safety, accessibility and sustainability grounds. The existing footway on Puckpool Hill between the site access and Puckpool Close is limited in width to circa 750 millimetres wide, forcing users into the live carriageway and the existing bus stop on Apley Road at the junction with Fulton Close. And it provides for no direct pedestrian link with users having to walk in the live carriageway to use it. Then goes on, there's much more information supporting that, but what I believe is the important bit, insufficient information. The information accompanying this application is inadequate and deficient in detail in respect of the proposed phasing of the off-site highway improvements and junction arrangement works as required in association with P stroke 00573 stroke 15, this here. And in the absence of further details, it is considered the proposal may represent the hazard to highway and site users by virtue of inadequate pedestrian and vehicle access arrangements, and by failing to provide adequate measures to reduce the need to travel to and from the development by car, or take adequate measures to provide for public transport, bicycle or foot travel. And then, in the absence of further details, it's considered the proposal is contrary to policies DM2, Design Quality for New Development, policy DM17, Sustainable Travel, DM13, Green Infrastructure, and of the Isle of Wight Core Strategy. So I'd just like to propose that we support that there.
But Dave, I've got an objection on the grounds of safety, sustainability and accessibility, as there's insufficient information regarding the phasing of the highway improvements and the proposals in contravention of policy DM2, DM17 and DM13.
Yes, and I believe the main concern is, with Island Roads, that they're allowed to construct these first 14 units and they haven't carried out the highway improvements, and they've just got, these are addressing just safety concerns for access in and out of the site. And those concerns also relate to the building workers, as well as anyone in the general vicinity just passing by.
Do we know, Dave, whether the Island Roads are objecting to this particular application, or this relates to the whole site?
It's very specific there. There's concerns for the site as a whole.
Yeah.
But this part here, this last...
This is 14 units. The
paragraph I've just read is in relation to these 14 units.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And the concerns are basically, Barry, public safety, getting on and off the site, and if you're just travelling past the site. There's no footpaths down here, there's not, and they want a guaranteed phasing of the work. And I think what their concern is, the Isle of Wight Council will let the developer go ahead, build the first 14 units, and there will be no infrastructure improvements. And, okay, I'm not saying the developer won't do them, but the concern is there by Island Roads that they feel they should be there now.
Yeah, no, I get
in,
that. Yeah, I think I'm as anxious as anyone to get that whole sorry story sorted out.
Yeah.
And ordinarily I'd say, yeah, let's have these 14 places, but if they've objected to that, I mean, you know, they're the professional people, aren't they?
Barry, yeah. I mean, look, none of us are in any doubt. This project now... As I see, I think it's going to be seen through to fruition. They've started it. I can't see it stopping there under any circumstances. I thought it's possibly only a technicality. But I think the view that there are, and these are people far more qualified than me looking at it, but studying what they've written, I can't see any reason why. I think we'd look if we actually
followed it. I think the important part is that they put these conditions like this, because if you take Whippingham at East Cowes, what it goes through to Kingston, that road at the bottom of that state, that state's been built for now 4-5 more years, and they still, Isleworth Council has still not got the completed road because there wasn't the right proper conditions put in to force the builder. So I think, as David said, we've got to stand the ground there.
The whole site isn't finished. Right. I mean, as you know, I go up and down the river most days, and the whole bottom of Kingston, you've got all the infrastructure, retaining walls, roads. No,
correct.
Because they came down. So there's no market.
I put back David's selection there.
Yeah. So, Roy.
Well, Dave and I, obviously they wanted our approval here, but Dave and I asked if we should go on there to make things work, just to have a look at the site and say, yeah, this is good or this is bad. We were told we shouldn't be going on the site. We weren't welcome to go on the site. So they're asking us for something without us even letting some councillors on there to say, yeah, that would be good or it would be bad. And that was silly. You know, we possibly could have had a better answer for them.
Yeah.
And we have still, Dave and I have still not been able to go on the site. Brian did ask for permission and it was refused. But we've got to get it done.
I agree with Dave that I'm afraid we're going to have to object to it on the grounds of lack of infrastructure and safety concerns. So,
so Dave has proposed that. Was anyone seconding it?
Someone second it, please.
Was it Roy?
Okay, and all those in favour?
Of the objection.
Of the objection. And I'm really sorry about this. Cause
that's carried.
We want to get this site done, we've got to have it done properly.
Yeah, that is it. It's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
Well, perhaps it will help focus bringing the stuff you'd like to see forward. So,
yeah, perhaps we can cheer yourself.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Right, there's appeals.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the appeals, yeah.
There's two appeals. Right, number one, Gibbs Cottage is Nettlestone Hill. Proposed single-storey rear extension. Start date, 17th of February, 2021. Second appeal. Shukashute, Galley Road, Seaview. Proposed decking with balustrade to existing flat roof at second floor level. Replacement double glazed UPVC windows. Revised plan. Start date, 22nd of February, 2021. That's all.
Dave, thank you very much. That's quite a...
Well, that's a conclusion.
Okay, reports. Reg, I see you hiding there. Oh. Hello, Reg.
There's not a lot of report, really. On Friday, I attended the last Isleworth Fire Brigade Pension Board, which I found a bit sad in a way, really, because after a lot more than 100 years, Isleworth has now no longer got its own fire brigade. It's been moved over to Hampshire. So next year, as well as your police precinct, you'll all be having a fire brigade precept as well, which you cheer everybody up, I suppose. So if you look at all the other things that's gone to Hampshire, I don't think it'll be long before we lose our county status. Education, children's services, lifeguards, countryside, roads. There aren't a lot left for the people on the Isle of Wight to actually govern for themselves now, which I find sad in a way. I do really. Today I had the last of this administration's audit committee, which I'm the chair. So now they're sort of going into the election mode and things are very quiet. I went to County Hall today and I haven't been there for quite a few times. And Diana know what it's like. I was the only car in the car park at County Hall. Was empty, with a single car in the car park but mine. You know, I've seen the time when you couldn't get in there with people attending meetings, doing business, work and all sorts of things. Public going in there. That's when you really notice this COVID business, I think. When you go something like that that you took for granted and you think would last forever, and it's now it just seems to be changing beyond our control altogether, which is sad in a way. I find it sad anyway. But there, so I haven't really got a lot to report. If anything comes up, you want me to ask a question or chase something up for you, they're still there, but most of them are working from home, but I can get hold of them if there's any.
I remember, Reg, you know, I used to work on the ferries, and the councillors were going to go over to the Houses of Parliament to argue the case for county status, and they couldn't get off the island because of the fog. Do you remember that? And that was one way how we managed to get county status. Di, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I did. I mean, that is so sad, Reg. I was on the council, as you know, with the Hampshire Fire Authority, and we fought tooth and nail to keep it on the island. And we were so proud that we did, and it's so sad that, like you say, everything is just being lost for this island. You know, it's just so sad. I just hope that, I know that I'm not trying to be political here, but I know that the girl that wants to stand for the police authority, she wants to bring Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, she wants to bring the Isle of Wight back into the force. And let's just hope that somewhere, somebody will recognise that we're a bloody island to be forceful. You know, aren't we? You know, it's just so sad.
It's the bean counters.
It's just so sad.
Yeah.
And I agree with Reg 100%.
You see all them things that the Isle of Wight Council used to do, and you got through your page of precept.
Yeah.
The amount of stuff that's being now done by the town and parish councils, so they've got to put their precept up to do the jobs which the Isle of Wight Council took for granted for donkey's years they've done.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
it's all being pushed on to the town and parish councils, and it's just not fair. It's double taxation of people. You end up to being just a tax collector.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't avoid it. You want to, and once the people get accustomed to having these services provided by their parish council, they'd be up in arms if you suddenly stopped them. But it ain't your job, really.
No. I agree, Reg, 100%.
Oh, I agree
100%.
I don't want to be this narrative. We're moving into a new era.
But no,
But I'm not sure it's a good new era, Reg. I think it might not be positive. I absolutely don't think it is. I agree with you 100%.
No, I don't think it is. But on the plus side, I've been raising this through iBook, because as you're probably all aware, I'm very much for trying to invest in the island and keep things on the island. And we've actually got a lot of support now from the other parishes through iWalk, that they're seeing what's coming on, and we're trying to keep things on the island. But we had four or five, what would you call them, rogue parishes that belong to the mainland associations. And the Isle of Wight Council are trying to give the same voting rights as the other 26 that are on the island. And there's an argument there for a rival saying, hold on a minute, well, that's not, those five aren't representative in equal terms to the 26 that are on the Isle of Wight Association. But we have a problem with the Isle of Wight Council in recognising that. But iWalk is pushing for it, and we're trying to keep things more local, Dyke. We feel we've got to try to keep these services on the island and promote the island.
That's I agree totally, Dave. Totally, 100%.
It's certainly paid off by us as a parish stepping back from Hampshire and going back onto iWalk, because, iWalk has become more stronger, I feel, than previously. And certainly us as this parish is getting more value for money. And as you say, you know, there is good Zoom meetings with the MP. So I think the link is getting stronger, and that's the only way we can fight the corner, which Dave is doing.
It might be that the Isle of Wight Council has no option but to recognise those five things, purely democratic, because you could belong to an organisation or not belong to an organisation. You're still a democratically elected body that represents your parish or your town.
No,
and it may not be anything to do with iWalk.
They're not disputing, Barry, that they have a vote. What they're disputing is that they're viewed, they get considered the same as the other 26. And iWalk's argument is, you can't, four votes against 26 isn't fair for an equal vote. But the Isle of Wight Council don't seem to want to recognise that. So that's something iWalk are pushing forward with, and we're trying to address.
I think what Councillor Adams explained there is that they both get counted as county associations when they're consulting on things. So it looks like so if you came down from Mars and you said, oh, we've got one county association called Hawke here, one called Iwalk, do you think they should get an equal say on consultation? You say, well, yeah, of course you would. And that, and of course, and as Councillor Adams explaining, they've got vastly different memberships behind them. That's where that, I think that's what you're coming from, isn't it, Dave? I think
yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Community partnership.
Yes. Okay. So the tree planting had a bit of a stop, didn't it, because of COVID. But the school are going to try and plant the silver birch before the end of term, the silver birch that the school are having. Lynn managed to get hold of the new tree officer and talk to him about the succession oaks that are going to be planted on the football field, and he's very happy about that. And then there are going to be 5 hazels for Sirius Close, and Lynn and Joe have found a youngster and somebody who's a bit older to help with the planting there. So that's what's going on with the planting. The planting of trees, the planting of plants around the village. Of course, there is a grant which we're going to discuss later that need a bit of help this year with the costs of making both Nettleston and Seaview look really pretty. As far as events go, the May Bank Holiday Fair obviously has been cancelled. It can't happen. There will be no egg throwing at Easter, but we're looking into the best way of running an Easter bonnet competition, which we're planning to do. And then the ongoing events like the party in the prom and the new church and partnership summer fair, that obviously they're being discussed to see where we're going with things. Men in Sheds, I think everybody got Rob's very helpful update recently. And there's a couple of other things. If anybody wants a squirrel or a bird box, please get yours from the Men in Sheds, because it's going towards it's going in their coffers, and they've now managed to get a charity bank account. So as I say, and the plan is that they'll be starting in May with the building. So I think that's everything.
Okay, thank you, Becky. This is me, Seagrove Pavilion Trust. Well, not much to report, and we've done a bit of maintenance work up there. I go up there and we've got some whiteboards and things to change, and we're hoping possibly to be ready to go by about April the 12th. But other than that, nothing to report. And Nettleston's Residents Association. Anybody want to say anything, Dave or someone?
Nothing from me.
No? Okay. Iwalk.
Right, Iwalk. Topic meeting on Thursday the 25th of February. Where Clive Joynes come from the Isle of Wight Council speaking about elections, leafleting and general procedures. I mentioned that I thought it was a poor that the Isle of Wight Council would not post the postal voting forms with the council tax bills. But for some reason, they're standing fast that they can't do it. It's going to cost too much money and they can't do it. There was a talk on roadside verges, nature's highways. And on Thursday the 4th of March, there was an informal chat with Bob Steely regarding the introduction of beavers to the island. And there's going to be a consultation, but we perhaps need to have some thoughts on that, because some people are for them, some people are against them. I'm not sure how I feel on them, and I actually didn't remark at the meeting because I didn't have time to do any research. But some concerns I had on them. From my experience out in France when I had my lake, we had these things out in France, what was called ragondins. And to me, they looked just like a beaver, but with a rat's tail. And these things do quite serious damage. They burrow into the banks, they destroy riverbanks and canals, they destroy lakes and dam walls where they're continually burrowing and making their homes. So I think it's something we maybe need to talk about, because there's going to be a consultation island-wide, But the Beaver people were all for them, but I'm not convinced they're looking at the bigger picture. They're, apparently, they can cut down 300 trees a year. They can fell a family of beavers. Now, if these are mature trees, I'm not sure beavers, I can't really see in today's climate how the reintroduction of them, although I do like wildlife, but I can't see how the reintroduction of them would really benefit the island. And I've got major concerns just when they come out with that they can fell 300 trees a year. And if these are mature trees, which they will be, it's I don't see how we can replace them easily, and I've got concerns about that. But that's something and nothing. That's coming up in the future. Just a little something, maybe. If we get 7 minutes here and there, we could all do a little bit of research on and try and get some views forward that we can put forward when the consultations come up.
I'm gonna make the assumption, Dave, they must have said they must have been indigenous at one point, because what a bizarre, of all the creatures they could come up with, like, to bring, it must have been something that was here at one time. There you go.
Really come up with something quite interesting, because he said, because apparently we've got these up north, and they're meant to be doing a lot of good, because they create these natural dams. From New Church and that, and they had concerns about, if they're damming the river there, the Yarl, where it comes through New Church, they're worried about the amount of water it's going to hold back. Now, all the Beaver people keep saying, in defence of the Beaver, it's good because it manages, it slows it down. But I'm not convinced about that, because it may slow it down for a while, and it may hold it back for a long while. But we all know, if you get a river burst its banks all of a sudden, it does a lot of damage. So if it held back a lot of water, and all of a sudden one of these little beaver dams was breached, how would that affect the people at New Church, and even further down at Sandown, where they get the flooding by the railway bridge in there?
Yeah.
There's just general concerns there. I don't want to sound like a killjoy. I'm really into the wildlife and the bits and pieces. But I think they've been gone a long time. I'm not sure just of the practicalities of it. That was all. There's just concerns for people that live near the rivers.
I mean, they have done a lot of work down there. I don't know if... I mean, it's one of my quite often walks around there up Martin's Hill and back down through Cane Knighton. Done a lot of work along the railway line, fencing and getting stuff ready down there. And I saw a documentary not that long ago about this soft... what was it you mentioned? Soft flooding protection and things like that. And they were part of that. But equally, there's the other side of the argument. So I don't know.
I mean, I was there at that meeting, and I must admit, I do agree with David in that there is concern for people because of the existing flooding on the Yarl. But as you say, further up the stream, that's where a lot of them are concerned. So I think it's a case of watching this space, isn't it?
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Yeah. There's one more item. There's a meeting this Thursday, IWOC meeting. We've all had the circulars, nothing really to report. That's it.
Thank you, Dave. Any other reports? Anybody want to say anything?
No. I've got one here. I've got a report here from Bob Seeley. He's starting a company that specialises in luxury VIP beaver spotting retreats. It'll be £1,000 a day per person. Yes, I've just made up on the spur of the moment. Sorry about that.
I would never guess that. I suppose he's going to sell sausages as well, is he?
Yeah, beaver flavoured sausages, yeah. Yeah. Only half, though. Right.
Wilma, are you there? Wilma?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Wilma. Would you, so I'll just introduce you. This is just to discuss and consider forming a tree working group for the parish.
Yes, basically.
I'd like to put some meat on this, Wilma.
So I'm going to put some light.
Hide your glass of red wine.
I'm sitting in the, I don't know where I am. There we are. I'm actually here, and I have been listening in all evening, but in the gloaming, as they say. Anyway, Barry, really it was for the parish council to have a think about a tree. You know, it seems to me, Robin, excuse your trees or the trees opposite you have been cut down by Alan Rhodes for a reason, presumably for people hurtling around the bend at great speed. But there seems to be a lot of tree felling that's gone on in the village, independently or organised in the case of Pier Road, because of the piling, they had to remove some of the trees. The Edwards, who own the rest of Pier Road, said that they were doing forestry management, and they managed to do 10 years felling of trees in 10 days. So there's been a lot of tree chopping, and I just wondered whether the parish council should have a policy. I don't know how you do it, but I'm sure you would like to discuss it. But we have some beautiful trees in Nettlestone and Seaview, which I think we all want to protect and look after. I can think of three or four. I've in fact asked for a TPO on the Cork Oak, which I think all of you know, who know where I live, is that wonderful old tree which hangs on in there through winter, summer, spring. And I think we should be, what we tried a few years back was when people applied for planning applications, that we not only looked at the house that they were building, but we looked at the landscaping around it so that they weren't going to just knock trees down, which has happened quite considerably in Gully Road. If you look at some of the houses there, the trees have all gone. There's just paving. It seems to be very smart just to have a lot of paving. It means more parking for people, which is, you know, no bad thing. But I just wondered what the parish council's thoughts were about forming a working group, whether we could get some people who had a like-minded thought, who would say, I'll look after my patch, I'll look down my road, and there are some lovely trees. I appreciate a lot of trees have had to come down for various reasons. There's a lot of sick ashes, and there's some sycamores that need lopping about the place. Anyway, over to you guys.
Thank you, Vilma. Anybody like to come in?
I'd like to come in there, yeah. With these trees, is there any special conditions we need to get tree preservation orders on them? Because I think it's important that we need to try and protect these trees. And I know a landowner can cut them down at will if there's no TPO on them, but is there anything preventing us getting far more TPOs issued where we're concerned? Because I think what Vilma's saying is very valid. If we can get a working group or whatever to keep an eye on them, but in the real world, that doesn't prevent someone turning up like they did down Southern View Road, chopping that field by the donkey field. Chopping the tree by the donkey field there. And
yep,
that's the real world situation of it. And I think it's something we need to seriously look at. And I think Vilma's raised a good point there.
Thank you, Deb.
Becky.
Yeah, I was only going to say you don't need to own land where you want to preserve a tree. You know, you can put a TPO on. It doesn't have to be your tree.
You don't have to own the land.
It doesn't have to be council land or whatever. So
you have to own the land.
I don't think you do, actually.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You don't.
Something we're trying to look into to get some details, or is there one of us that can look into it and explore that avenue, just find out if there's anything preventing us from getting more tree preservation?
Well, we all from time to time, I'll bring you in a tick, Reg. We all from time to time get an email saying that this tree work has been granted here or there or up the road or something like that. And I wonder whether anybody, it would be for Reg to know the answer to this or whether we'll ever be able to do it. I wonder whether anybody who wants to cut a tree down or modify a tree within our parish should come to us first. Or at the same time.
I would say, Barry, for permission, unless there's some kind of legislative change, the permission they need is from the Isle of Wight Council.
Oh, yes, I know it is.
They're the planning authority.
But it would alert us, wouldn't it? Is what I'm saying.
So yeah,
they've got to go to the council to get permission from the Arborology Department or whatever it's called, but at least they should legally speak to the parish.
Oh, no, if someone applies to do something and there's a TPO on it, we should get notified like we do with the planning application that someone's asking to do it, and we'll get a notification. We've not really seen many, unfortunately, because I don't think many protected
trees. It's when they haven't got the TPO, Brian.
Yeah.
I think that's the point Barry's trying to raise. If they've not got the TPOs, is there anything we can try and initiate with the Isle of Wight Council that we have some sort of contact via the parish?
If anybody wants to do it, anybody can nominate a tree at will, if you can identify it and contact the planning authority, you can do it. So say there was a working group and it was something people were really enthusiastic and wanted to do, you could go around identifying batches of them and nominating them. You know, you don't even have to come to the parish council. You don't need permission from us to do it or anything like that. Anyone can go off and do it. You can identify them, and then it would go off to people like Jerry Willis and Tony Gillingham to assess whether you've got a valid case.
But about 50 years ago, Alan Hershey, I think it was Alan Hershey from the Nature Reserve, went round the entire village of villages of Seaview and Nettlestone and marked every tree that he felt should have a TPO. Now, that's an enormous task for someone today. But if we could break ourselves up, if Barry and you, the parish council, felt that it was a good idea, we could publicise this on Next Door on the Seaview Community Partnership pages to say, look after your street, look after your trees, and just get a little aware group, because lovely trees have been lopped. I'm sure, I don't know whether the people got permission or not. But, you know, as Dave just said, it's very easy for someone to move into a new house here and they don't like the tree because they don't like the leaves on the lawn or they don't like the shade it creates, and this tree gets cut down.
There was a big one in Priory Drive last year that was
oak tree. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm becoming a bit of a tree expert. I've been and had a close look at it. There was nothing wrong with that tree. I have been up to the house. It seems to be, I don't know if it's a second home.
It's a second home.
There's been nobody there, but you know, blinds at the windows. I will persevere it and say, I'd just like to know whether they got permission to cut down this perfectly healthy, beautiful old oak tree. And if you go, Robin, from where you are, is Robin still with us here?
Yeah.
He's gone. Down from Bull and Mead, there are the beautiful line of oak trees down there, which, you know, somebody coming in saying, oh, I don't like those, they can go. So, anyway,
thank you, Vilma. Thank you very much for that. Reg, you wanted to come in.
Yeah, following on from Vilma, really, because it wasn't 50 years ago, it was like 25 years ago. Alan Hersey was then the parish councillor. I don't know whether some of you might remember him. I know it was Diane Foxley was on the parish council at the same time. He was the one responsible for the parish council. Some of you might regret this, but he was responsible for the parish council taking over those old oaks as you go down Beer Road on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones, I mean, what the years ago they called it Fairy Dow, didn't they? There's a little footpath.
Yeah.
And he was as the parish council take over and look after them, spend a lot of money on them, actually, over the years. But he went round and he marked every tree. There must be somewhere in the parish records of it. It's not only trees, you can put preservation orders on clumps of trees. They don't have to be lovely big oaks or anything like that. You can have little scrubby looking, horrible trees, you know, to individually, but as a little wood or a little spinny, they're all part of our community and our environment. And he did all this. That was when the parish council used to go around like beating the bands. We used to walk the Barnsley Trail and he'd mark it and tell everybody about it. He was really, really obsessed with trees. But it was wonderful. And he must be turning in his grave now to see what's going on.
Okay.
My point is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. That stuff must be about here somewhere.
Yeah, but there is a TPO, there is a council map which shows the TPOs, but it's desperately out of date.
Yeah, very much so.
We just need to update it.
Start off with the original. You don't have to do all this legwork, do you? You just visit the parts where you've got concerns. And the Isle of Wight, there's no TPOs on any tree that's on Isle of Wight Council land, because the Isle of Wight Council is deemed to be a responsible landowner. And you don't have to put TPOs on there. That would be the same on parish council lands.
Reg, I don't wish to correct you, my friend, but there are some TPOs on council own land, just up at the football field, those two big oaks. That's very recent.
Well, they don't need them because the Isle of Wight Council is deemed a responsible landowner.
Yeah. Well, I know that a mutual acquaintance of us, Maureen, recently did it.
Well, I can understand that these folks have been chopped down.
Okay. Would anybody else like to say something about this?
I'd like to just have one little thing, if I could.
Yes, please, Dave.
It's, I think, main concern, I love oak trees. I think, in particular, we need to protect the oaks because they're so slow growing and they need as much protection as we can give them. I'm very concerned. I know there's a tree preservation order on the one in the Gidwell field, getting back to our beloved field, but I have concerns over that when the development starts, I know that these developers put what they call pits around them to protect them from the so-called construction. I think we need to try and make some inquiries that if we can get these pits made to cover a larger footprint, because in the many, many cases, once they put these pits around the tree, it in effect kills the tree. Because they don't work outside of the pit and they damage the roots, etc. So I think trees, like in particular the one over there, not harping on about the Gidwell field, but that particular tree is in the Doomsday Book. And
is it?
It's, you know, it's very, very old oak. And we need to protect them.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. I didn't realise it was that old.
Yeah, it's very old, Barry.
I think they should probably remember that.
I believe they was taking some of the oaks from over here and building the ships.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else before we move on? Okay, thank you. Right, we need to discuss and agree the time and location of the annual parish council meeting. And, of course, the annual parish meeting. So, Brian, do you want to just...
Yeah, so just to give everyone context, what will happen is, obviously, there will be elections on May the 6th, is it? Yeah. Then we have a couple of weeks afterwards in which we have to meet for the first time with the new council. The issue is, we obviously, in the COVID world, we've been used to meeting remotely. And at the moment, the government is not moving on extending the conditions that say that we can actually use remote meetings from May the 7th onwards. So we're going to have a meeting probably on the Monday, I think it's the 17th. I'll have to check. Something like that. Monday, May the 17th. That would be our normal meeting time of day. But it looks like at the moment we would have to be prepared to do that meeting physically because it would be illegal to do that remotely. So it'd be a question of, we've got to pick a location to do that. And I think talking to the chair offline, it might be something like we probably need to approach someone like the Seaview Yacht Club, because I don't think any other venue where you can go in. And we also have to make it COVID compliant. You have to go in one door and come out of a different door. We have to have all the hand sanitizers and stuff at the entrance. And we have to make sure the chairs are 2 meters apart. People have to wear masks when they go in, all that kind of thing. And we'll have to make sure we're all spaced around as much as we can.
And we would have to show due diligence at the door.
Yes, yeah, all that kind of thing. Yeah. So,
would you like me to speak to the Commodore, or do you want to?
Well, if you've got a relationship with him, that would be great. Do you know him?
I've got his phone number.
In that case, if you wouldn't mind, I'll make a note that you're going to speak to the Commodore or Sea Yacht Club to see if we can use it. Because unfortunately, what we know is the pavilion isn't available that night because brownies is on, which is good for children to be out doing stuff. We're meant to be avoiding schools at the moment during the COVID pandemic. The Masonic Lodge is out for refurbishment, and unfortunately, St Peter's upstairs, we haven't got accessible entrance in and out again for people to come in, because it's up some stairs and then down some other stairs. It's not. And also, I think we'd really struggle with the 2 metre spacing in there. Yes.
Can I say something?
Yes.
The community shop is planning to hold their annual members meeting in St Peter's Church. St Peter's Church itself will open for public worship on Palm Sunday, which is not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And we've got sanitizers, and you can seat people, quite a few people, with you know, in safety. And there are two ways in and out if you want it. Because you could go in through the cloister bit and come out, if you wanted to, down by the gate, which goes through the flowery. You could do that, or you could manage.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make a note to investigate whether that's an option as well.
There is a lot of room, and as you say, Sally, we could, yeah. That'd be quite interesting to have an alley at our Paris meeting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, she can choose whether to come or not, but it's public space. It's everyone's. Yeah, the church is everyone's space.
Yeah, another thought.
So, is this the meeting with everybody or just with the council?
So this is the first one. This is the councillors' meeting, and it's just it'll be a meeting very much like this we're having right now, but it'll be the very very first one of the new administration.
Okay.
After the election. So it'd be the one where the first thing we'd have to do is elect a chairman, and then it's approving all the documents, doing all the stuff we have to do once a year, and it's that meeting. So
we've got one meeting left, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got one in April. Yeah, the next month's meeting is the last one of the current set of councillors.
What are you going to do for a job then, Brian?
I'll do anything.
Come and cut my grass.
Yes, it's a bit damp at the moment. I'll just kill it. So on the 17th of May, that's looking like we'll stick to that date. And Barry, if you contact the Yacht Club, I'll look into whether we can actually use a church. I think it gets a bit tricky with things like that because of inclusivity and stuff for people who perhaps wouldn't be comfortable going to. I have to look into stuff like that. It gets a little bit tricky.
Well, I'm sure. Imagine you mean.
I don't know. I have to look, because there are rules. It's like I was saying to you as well, because the other thing is, if we do use the Yacht Club, we'd have to make sure they weren't serving alcohol while we're in there.
Well, of course, yeah. Well, it went to the chairman.
We wouldn't want anyone enjoying themselves while they're in there.
No.
So
we've got half of it organised, it's just a location then.
Yeah, so that will be the date for it, and that is, and we'll come back to next month, hopefully with some firmer details on an actual physical location.
Kent, is everybody happy with that procedure.
Yep. We'll bring it back next month with hopefully an actual location in place. The next thing is the annual parish meeting. At the moment, parish meetings are suspended till May the 7th, but then actually they'll come back legally into force, and we're going to have like this 20-odd day window to actually have an annual parish meeting. This is the one where it's not for councillors, it's for the public. But the chairman, if he so chooses, has the pleasure of chairing it, and the clerk, if he so chooses, has the pleasure of keeping the minutes. So basically, there's jobs for Barry and I that night, and everyone else is welcome to attend it as a member of the public. On this occasion, though, this is something where we could potentially have it at the pavilion on a different night, because the pavilion is available on Tuesdays. So we could potentially go for the Tuesday afterwards, which is still in time. It's the 25th. We could go for Tuesday, 25th of May, like at 6 o'clock in the evening or something. And it's just the parish meeting. It's nothing to do with the parish council. The other thing is, sometimes in the past, because we've tended to hold them on the same night, I think it's confused people because you have one, and it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. So we could propose to make it the 25th of May and try and book the pavilion for 6 o'clock that night. That could be something you might like to propose. That could become the parish meeting.
Councillors, what do you think? Anybody agree and like to propose that?
Do you think it will be COVID safe? Because it's not very big in there. How many people can you have safely?
I don't know. Other than that, it just gets tricky. The thing is, every local council association is pressurising the government to say, you've got to keep remote meetings going, because you're basically telling everyone that we've got to go back to meeting in person, but it's not safe to do so, and you have to have all these rules in place until at least June the 21st or whatever. So we're in a bit of a rock and a hard place on this, because they can be very very popular meetings, and I don't know where we'd be able to, like, again, could you do it at the church? Again, is it suitable to do it in church? Could be. That could be a potential place for it.
It's a no-win situation for the parish.
it is. We're going to have these legal obligations, and it'd be fantastic if we had an enormous community hall somewhere with oodles of space. But most parishes are like, they haven't. Most of us haven't got them. It's a bit of a mess at the moment. Oh, sorry, Barry. I think Cameron Hardy is.
Yeah.
You're all at it.
Can I butt in there?
No, Becky's waiting.
Becky.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, is there a limited time? Can we not wait until after June the 21st?
No, this has to be done by June the 1st. It's really weird. They're suspended at the moment, but then, again, it's a bit of a mess of the government's making.
Fine.
But then, yeah, it will then come into force on the 7th, and we've got from the 7th to the 1st of June to run it.
So the only place I can meet more than 6 people is in a parish meeting. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, apparently
Before June the 21st.
Bring your friends and family, bring anyone you've missed, you know, bring your relatives over from the mainland, it'd be lovely.
That's funny, isn't it?
I know, you couldn't make it up, really. But that's why you can see why, like, Nauk and Iwas and everyone are banging their heads against the wall in frustration. And the government are holding firm at the moment that they're not interested in changing the legislation. Like, honestly. So there we go. Parish council meetings and parish meetings apparently will be much safer than anywhere else. I don't know how. It's a magic fairy dust that we sprinkle around as everyone walks in.
Earlier, Brian, we'll have to do due diligence.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Shall we pencil in the 25th of May? But again, for the next meeting, we'll go away and investigate the buildings. So we're looking at saying perhaps the 17th of May would be good for the parish council meeting because it is when we're meant to have a meeting. You never know, by a month's time, the government might have actually got the message and changed the legislation and made it like a remote possibility. There's a remote possibility we could do it remotely, so we could see. But if not,
the pavilion will take about 40 people sat down, but I think that's going to be far too many.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're lucky enough by then to have 10 councillors, it may only be you and me, Brian, stuck out the front. But yeah, hopefully the other councillors will be in the audience. But
Barry, the football club had a meeting. The football club had a meeting in there before, and there was eight members of the football club on the committee.
Yeah,
and that was easily coped with because we could come in through one door and go out through the other.
Yes, through one train and out. Following the rules,
You could easily get a dozen to 14 people in there at a safe distance if you had to. We did it, and we found it. I think that's the best place to have it.
Well, then,
we're going to see that's going to happen with the election anyway.
We may well have to design a first-come, first-served basis then, because if you
can just allow four members of the public in,
Or maybe we have to just have it on the football field and you two on, in the doorway and have everybody else outside.
We can be in the dry and warm while it's raining. While everyone else stands out, we can hand umbrellas out and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you can stand in the goal mouth.
If it's dry, I don't think it's a bad idea, actually, what you've just said there, Peggy.
Well, anyway, unless anyone's got objections, you don't have to approve anything or anything yet. What we could do is take away the dates of the 17th and 25th, and we'll do more investigation of the actual locations, and then we'll get it firmed up next meeting. We'll actually,
okay. Everybody happy with that idea, guys?
I'm happy with it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brian.
No problem.
Barry, could I come in again quickly? I just noticed getting back to the tree working group, Sally brought up a good point. We didn't agree if we were going to try and form a working group for that.
And I did reply to you.
If we're going to try and move that forward.
But I thought, excuse me if I misunderstood, I thought Vilma said she was going to put it on Neighbourhood and Next Door. Did I misunderstand?
Yeah, I thought she was going off to...
I did send you a private chat, Sally.
I saw that.
All right.
Thank you. I just thought that she probably needed a bit more positive sort of encouragement or endorsement by us to go ahead, and people who were interested could self-nominate or something.
Okay. Well, maybe Brian, could you put it on our website?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'll put on the website that it's. This community initiative starting, and if people want to contact me, I'll tell Vilma that people are interested.
I'd happily put my hand up to be the council link if you want.
Oh, brilliant!
I don't want to end up doing the whole thing.
I think Vilma's keen.
yeah. happily be yes, that, you know, yes. if you want to give it a legitimacy by having yeah. a council link, I don't mind being that person.
We don't have to, because we're not creating a committee, we're not delegating any powers to this. It's not something you have to, we're not being bound to anything. We haven't got any powers over trees. So I'll put it on the website and say that Becky's happy to be the okay. councillor here, and that it's something that for the community to be involved with. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I don't
yeah,
know.
Thank you.
I just sort of the net, but thank you. Right, okay. Right, next one is the Southern Housing Group.
Yeah.
Discussed and agree the council's communication strategy with the developers of the Eddington Road site. Anybody like to comment on that?
Can I just say, did you all see, because it was hot off the press, it came through at 4:05 today, got an email from Jeremy Barkway from Southern Housing Group to say, I can confirm that Southern Housing Group has been informed by the agents acting for the council that our bid has been successful. I do not currently have any documentation that I can share, but expect this will be forthcoming from the council in due course. I hope that we'll have the opportunity to meet with the parish council soon. We are keen to understand the aspirations that the local community has for the site.
So, Brian, has that been emailed to us all?
Yes, yeah, 4:05, 4:06 today.
How okay, time? Sorry, I left the office.
I mean, that's right, yeah.
I have since, because of business issue with Chris Ashman, I mean, I have had discussions with him and brought up Nettleston. And he asked, one part is, have we had the, they did state that they would forward us the answers to the questions.
Oh, no, they haven't. They haven't actually. More right.
Can that be chased, and can you copy me in on that?
Yeah.
Because that should have, come, should have had that by now.
Yeah.
The other point is that he did say that he felt the meeting went well in that he is realising that he's got to listen to us as a parish. So I feel that seemed encouraging. It's still at the early stages with, as you say, the process of it. But I think we need those questions answered back, and we need to keep continuing with the Isle of Wight Council to make sure they are listening to the requirements of us as a parish relating to the proper infrastructure that's needed in going forward.
All right, I'd like to come in here. I think, with the greatest respect, Mike, it's I think we have a problem with the Eddington Road site and the Isle of Wight Council. And my problem with this whole thing is, regardless of what Chris Ashman said, they have done the deal. They've done that deal without any consultation with us as a parish council. And I think that's terrible. I really think that's terrible. And I think we need to tread very, very carefully with this. And I feel we should not enter into any negotiation with them at all, especially via us initiating it. If we do talk to them at all, they must approach us, and they've got to come through the proper channels. They've got to approach us, because going by what we found out in these last 2 weeks with a meeting with Chris Ashman and Dave Stewart and Barry Abraham and what's been going on behind closed doors, that deal has clearly been done. And there's been no consideration given to the parish. None at all. And that's wrong.
Brian, have we had the acknowledgement for the letter relating to going in on the site of interest for the community?
They haven't. We obviously sent it, but they haven't given us a response to whether it's been successful or not.
But shouldn't they acknowledge it?
I don't know what on their site, you submit it through their online site thing, which I did. I followed all the things. I've not done one before, so who knows what they do with them. All I know is they haven't updated their list of applications for a couple of months, so whoever is administering the process hasn't updated what's going on, like, in real time. So, and they don't tell you who it is either. It's all well, quite faceless.
Councillor Barry know the procedure on that?
I don't know if he's not done if he's there. No.
Reg, are you a babe, mate? Okay. Reg.
Well, the last time you did this, you went through Ashley Curzon. I would go directly to Ashley Kerr's, plus the online thing, but whatever you did online, copy to Ashley Curzon.
Okay, thank you very much, Bruce.
Then you've got it. Then you've got a name, a target, if you like. Harsh, but then you can chase him up.
Cool. Thank you.
He's pretty good, actually. And if you want me to chase him up after you've put it in, if you don't hear from him for a couple of days, let me know and I'll chase him up for you.
Okay. Thank you, Reg.
I think that's really helpful.
Hey, everyone. The reason why I asked for this item to put on to the the agenda for this week was the fact that I got an email to my personal, well, to my Nettleton website, and I don't know if anybody else had. So I immediately thought that I don't think any individual councillor, whether I'm the chairman or whoever else it is, should enter into any particular discussion with the Southern Housing Group, which is why I would suggest that all communication comes through the parish clerk, Brian, and he disseminates it accordingly. Mm-hmm. And that's really what all this is about. I mean, you know, we can all have the ump about the Eddington Road site, but I would just like to suggest and propose that communication goes through Brian, with whatever they may wish to say, or they may wish to say, well, we would like to do a presentation or something like that. But in the first instance, everything goes through Brian.
I'm happy to second that.
That proposal that everything comes through the clerk. Thank you very much.
So yeah, I'll second that.
Di, you've seconded it.
I agree with that.
Thank you. Can we have a vote on that, please, guys?
Yeah,
can I say as well that I think that even if we don't like what they're saying, we should keep the communication channels open
in
two ways.
Absolutely.
Because we need to be on the front foot and we need to be willing to put a counter-argument together if we've got one, which I think we probably have. Yeah. And, you know, we're doing this for the residents of our parish and we want the best outcome. That site is going to be developed. Let's have it developed how we want it developed and let's work with them.
I totally agree with you.
I agree. At some stage, we're going to need to talk to them.
Yeah.
We need, as a parish, we need input from the residents that live down here and we need a plan, something along the line. I thought we had a plan with a Vexus thing.
But we've got
Gary Abraham turning up and telling Dave Stewart that it's underdeveloped down there. They need to stick 100 units on it. And there's been no attempt at any consultation with the parish. And regardless of what Dave Stewart said at that meeting last week and about the Isle of Wight Council being transparent and that, there is no transparency. And quite frankly, they've lied to us. And it's not acceptable to foist 100 houses on the people at Eddington Road. It's not acceptable.
Thank you, Dave. Anybody else like to say anything? We've had the vote, haven't we? All done.
Well, I think the important part is to realise that it is the officers that are doing the communication. It's the Isle of Wight Council officers now doing it, if that letter's, as you say, is direct with Southern Housing. So we've now got to make sure that Southern Housing know what the Nettleton Parish needs are in the format that we previously had talked with Vectus. And that is the important concern to all.
All Southern Housing are interested in is their top line. That's all they're interested in. They've bought it on the precursor of they're going to get planning for 100 units on it. Something here is seriously amiss. And it needs addressing.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, guys, can we move on? Seaview Recreation Ground. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So there's two parts to this. The first is, I don't remember, but it was a year ago now. The Isle of Wight Council wrote to us with an updated partnership.
Brian, I can hear everybody. I've just got to nip over there and stretch it out for a minute.
No problem. Yeah. So they wrote to the parish council a year ago with an updated partnership agreement, and I don't know if everyone remembers, but the scope of it was very broad, and it basically implied that the parish council would take over complete responsibility for Seaview Recreation Ground, and you all resolved to actually put the scope back to what it was originally, which was actually looking after the turfed area for the football pitch, and you know, having it cut and maintained, and putting the lines in. and they've accepted that, and it's because of COVID, it's taken them an entire year, but they've actually come back with a partnership agreement that says that again now. So that's the first part of this, and it's just, as far as I can tell from looking at it, it is the scope of what you guys all agreed, but I just wanted to get you, give you the chance to resolve that you're still happy to support that, because it has been a year since this was all talked about, but unfortunately COVID got in the way for them. And they did apologise for how long it took. Because the truth of it is, we are actually doing what this partnership agreement says. And it's something that it's quite good, I suppose, because it shows what we're not willing to do. We're not going to take over looking after all the trees there, because it would be extraordinarily expensive to have the tree reports and things like that done. And we're not taking over maintaining pathways and
we can't afford to.
Sort of no, it's the sort of stuff. It goes back to actually what Councillor Barry was saying earlier. If we did that, we'd have to again put the precepts up once again for something that people are already paying for. But this is something that we've been doing for several years, and we're carrying on with the scope of that. So it's just to see whether you'd all resolve. And I'd end up signing it on behalf of the parish council, the partnership agreement. Just to let people know, when I did show a copy of this to our legal team who were looking after our leases before, and they were saying it really doesn't have as much power or strength or anything like that. We've agreed and been subject to them for 6 or 7 years, but I think they're not particularly enforceable. But I think they show willing on behalf of the parish council with the Isle of Wight council to say, yeah, we're willing to look after certain parts of the parish, and it's a scope that we've been taking on for I think 7 years now. So that's the first part. So
Well, as I said to you earlier, and obviously I'll tell the rest of everybody now, what I like about it is if we're responsible, you, Brian, are responsible for, selling tickets, there might be some groups that we won't sell a ticket to.
Sorry, Barry, take us back. We're on the first part of this, which is still in the partnership agreement still.
Oh, right, okay.
Sorry, I haven't got on to the being responsible for... Yeah. So okay. Is anyone going to propose that we sign off on the partnership agreement? Thank you, yes. Councillor Hardy. Propose.
Seconder.
Anyone seconding? Thank you, Councillor Ritchie.
Vote, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's everyone. Resolved. Thank you. The second part of this is, we only got asked this just over a week or so ago, I think. It was only just in time for the agenda. Is at the moment, people can use the recreation ground for events. And they've traditionally booked that through the Isle of Wight Council. And the Isle of Wight Council aren't interested in administering that anymore. They're happy for it to carry on and for the public to carry on using it, but they just don't want to be responsible for taking bookings. And so they said, would the parish council be interested in taking... So over to you, parish councillors, as to whether you'd be interested in administering people using...
we should do, because basically we're the people there, so we should administrate it.
But should it be administered at the same time with the pavilion bookings, though? Should they be linked, do you think?
It should be one of the same, I think, Becky.
I would have thought they needed to be linked, rather than you couldn't have something in the pavilion and then somebody that didn't know what was going on in there booking something on the field for the same time and day sort of thing. I don't know, but that's...
Let's see what
Reggie's
got to say there.
I think I agree with Becky. I think you've got to be careful that you don't get clashes. And I think you should ask yourself, why does the Isle of Wight Council want to pass it on to you? What is the administrative cost if the church say they want to have their fete up there on the third Thursday in August or something? I can't see what administration there is there. The only time there was a wedding up there caused a lot of grief. There is also there's a lot of responsibility. The pavilion will tell you that. You know, once you get drink involved and tidying up and toilets, and it ain't...
it's a lot of aggravation.
It's like the partnership deal you've agreed. You've agreed a partnership deal. But have every one of you councillors seen the deal? What is it you've all voted for?
Well, they've all had copies of it for a while. And it's
parish council officers are trying to save money. and they don't care who gets hurt. That's
but the thing with is
chaos up there with someone wanting to throw a wedding the same day someone wants to throw the church, and it could all come back on Brian. It could be a nightmare. Or it would be,
I think
you should really look into it and get it in black and white what exactly you are. So the football club has got the pitch for certain times of the year, certain days for training, for Saturdays. The regatta use it. There's all these different people use it, and then it becomes the number one venue for weddings. Who's to say, you know, it's, I don't know. I would be very careful.
All I would say, Reg, is that at the moment, the Isle of Wight Council take all the bookings for it. They administer that, and we have no control over it. We actually could be quite circumspect.
Yeah, but when they had the wedding up there,
yeah,
it was the football club ended up tidying up after it.
Yeah,
and the partners and the pavilion were in there doing the washing up for them. I was up there to get it ready because someone had booked the children's disco on the day after. It was supposed to be out by a certain time. It was a nightmare. The Isle of Wight Council ain't nowhere. They can get Trish Stillman up at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, tidying that.
Which is why it needs to be linked with the pavilion, isn't it?
You want to really look into it and get a hard and fast thing. And whatever they're spending, the Isle of Wight Council, it's a cost. Some of that cost should be passed over to whoever's taking it over. Shouldn't it? It's like when you took the dinghy park over, you got money out of it because you passed it over and you made money out of it. You ain't going to make no money out of that up there.
No, well, I'd say the one thing is, when they approached us, which like I say was like quite last minute, just over a week ago, they did say that if any bookings were made, if the parish council wanted to charge for it, they'd get to keep the money from the bookings. But that's...
who does the football club pay? Roy,
who do we pay?
Yes, who do you pay?
We pay, well, I can tell you, we pay a license fee for the year.
Every year,
we pay it to the Isle of Wight Council. We've got a license with them to play football, and we've got a lease to lease the ground. There's two sums we pay every year. So we only lease the pitch and the ground the stand stands on.
Yeah, you know, maybe we do need to check a bit more.
I'll tell you what, there's no pressure on this. This is something they've, again, it's one of, it's like Reg said earlier, it's kind of one of these things by stealth that got just snuck in, you know, a week and a bit ago to say, so obviously I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm going to let you know and tell you it's been proposed. But I think the important part is
to go back with, ask for the terms, but also, as Reg has said, you know, to find out what the cost implications are. What are the public liability implications? Are we covered on our own one, or would we have to take extra public liability? So I think, you know, exactly what Reg is saying, we need a bit more information to be making sure that it's balanced cost implications
so
and understanding.
Maybe a recreation ground working group for people to look into it, or you could just say no. I mean, it's up to you. You've got this choice. I mean, it's like, this looks like it could turn into quite an enormous bit of work if people really wanted to do it, or it's just completely up to you.
I think at the present time we should say no.
I can't. I'm trying to think of anything other than football where the only thing you rent.
Yeah, well, we're paying.
That's
14,
a good point, actually. Yeah,
we pay £1,400 a year for that.
Yeah, but what I mean is everything else surely is with
through the pavilion. Yeah.
Through the pavilion.
Yes, correct.
So
there's a charge. We know there's a charge all the way, and other people who want to hire the pavilion have got a charge to pay. That charge has been there since the pavilion opened and since it gave opportunities for people to have passes there. But like Reg said, we've had some very, very serious problems wanting to be in the pavilion at 12 o'clock and then there's still a party going on until half past three.
Just for a second, just thinking about it, and it comes back to what Becky said and what Reg said, and something for you to to consider, is do you want to suggest to the Isle of Wight Council, perhaps I'd like to ask the Pavilion Trust because they've already got a booking system and they book out the pavilion, whether they want to take on the booking out of the, that way they know when they're booking out the pavilion, whether they want to, like you say, I'm not really sure who'd book out just the thing without the pavilion, but
no.
Is it maybe something to suggest they get together and talk about it?
Well, it's important that the pavilion are in charge of what's going on, because we're all working out of the pavilion.
Mm.
Dai's been trying to get in.
I agree with Dave. I think we should. I agree totally with Dave. Yeah.
Well, I would quite like to see it controlled locally, albeit with all these caveats you've all mentioned, and they're quite right. But yeah, we'll have to be no until we know more, won't it?
I think we need more information. Okay. I think right. If we're not careful, we'll be taking on a liability.
So you're proposing no?
I agree, Dave, totally.
Let's move on, guys.
Oh, hang on, can you just have a resolution? Cameron is resolving to say no to it.
Just doing it. Can we have a proposer to object to this?
Okay. Councillor Adams.
Seconder? In favour, please?
Yes.
Okay, is that everyone?
One, two, three, four... Right, so carried. Thank you.
Okay. Right, the next one is to consider a response to the Isle of Wight consultation on Brainfield sites. Well, I think they probably know all of them anyway, don't they?
They've got, there is, in. If you look in the SHLAA, they do have most of them identified already that we know of. But if anyone knew any others, it's quite a comprehensive list of around the parish, but... It's just that, as they've asked us to, it could be you all decide that there is no response from the parish council, but it's just as it's a consultation.
What's the ones of any significance? I think it's only Flamingo Park, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's on their SHLAA thing anyway.
Becky.
Sorry. Surely in that we would like them to build on brownfield sites, even if they say exactly the same ones as us, it would be worth responding saying these are the brownfield sites we know in our parish.
They want to know about new ones that they haven't identified.
Somebody close.
So if you know any they don't know, that's the whole point. Is because they like they're saying they want to know about new undiscovered ones, because they're often accused of not knowing. But obviously in their SHLA they've got 7 or 8 already identified here in the parish, and I don't. It's not. We haven't got like some former industrial plant that's just shut down, have we? Or I don't know, or a farm that's gone defunct. I don't.
You're on a white can. What's it?
Yeah.
Sorry, Becky, were you going to say something?
No. Is there land up by Tesco's that's sort of wrapped between where Boffy and Coffee and Walnut or whatever we were talking about earlier between there and the Tesco's? Is there land? Somebody said there was land up there that was brownfield. That would be in our parish, wouldn't it?
That would have a really good chance of being in our parish.
Well, the gold cart's in our parish, isn't it?
Yes, and so is
parish.
I imagine it would be.
That's our furthest border.
It just goes on to the end of the golf course, heading towards Brading, and then it.
We've got Tesco's in our parish.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't think it's shut down yet, Di. I know. I don't think.
No.
Okay, so
car park.
So what do you want to do about this, guys? That we sort of, if we come up with it, we'll let Brian know he can move it up the chain.
Yeah, if we find.
Yeah, certainly.
Yes, I mean there is some quite just behind West. What's it called up there? Where have been people having their vaccinations? West Ridge.
Yeah. West Ridge, yeah.
Behind there, there's quite a bit of, I think
we've got till Friday to respond. So if anyone can identify it by Friday, then... and actually, you don't have to do it through the parish council. You can, if it comes to you, you can put it on the site. You can respond to it.
So can I have a proposer for that again? Sorry, I don't know who did it.
What are we going to propose that if people can think of anything to bring it to me? Yeah.
Okay, somebody want to propose that, guys?
Yeah.
Sally, please. Becky.
Thank you.
And in favour?
Thank you.
Okay, Brian.
Thank you very much.
So, the next item is to discuss an approach to completing the council's new resilience plan. Brian.
Yes, so the Isle of Wight Council have paid for, all over the island, we have local resilience coordinators. And ours is a nice lady called Lucy. And one of the things she's done is she's looking after about 7 or 8 parishes. And I think, except for Bembridge, I don't think any of the parishes had resilience plans. So she's effectively written resilience plans for all of us. But what it is, there are... It doesn't mean we've adopted it. It means she's put it, she's done most of the work, and if the parish council wanted to, we could look into finishing it off and adopting it. And it's just a question, it's probably one of those little things where you might want a small working group or a small number of councillors just to go away and have a look, just think, have we got that relationship with the church that we could use that as the place to go to if we have a flood? Have we got a relationship with the football club that we can call on them to let us do something on that sort of stuff? And there's just a few things like that left to finish. And it's up to you. We don't have a resilience plan at the moment. But if you were interested, you could look into using that and then just filling the last few bits in and then adopting it at a future meeting. And it was just to see if there was interest from any councillors to actually finish it off, basically.
I think we should have something. We should have several designated perhaps emergency reception centres. I mean, if half a street was taken out because of a fire, we might have to put someone up or half a dozen people up somewhere. You know, and to be able to open the pavilion at 3 o'clock in the morning might be a good thing.
That was one of the reasons we wanted to keep the church as a community and not let it off as a holiday home.
Yeah.
That was one
I don't
of
know
the
if we get hundreds of displaced residents in there.
No. But anyway, I do think it's a good idea, and all of our public, albeit if they're owned privately or whatever, public sizeable spaces, we perhaps ought to approach all of the key holders, organisers, trustees or whatever, that in the event of emergency, would they be available to open up?
Well, that's obviously got to be the recreation ground, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, but you might need to shelter people. You know, it's okay. You could perhaps use the recreation ground as a muster station, but if it's tipping down with rain, we want to get people safely indoors, don't we?
Right. Would you like me to set up a meeting? Like I can host a Zoom meeting or something. The councillors are interested, and we can go through and we can look at the bits that need filling and see. Yeah. Who feels that they've got the right? So, if you like, what I'll do is I'll just make a note that I'll take an action to set up a meeting to look at the sections that need. It's not a lot. There's not lots, but it's more about the relationship management. Can we get the church? I'm saying the church as an example. It's not all come down to church, you know. But there are other things like that. Like there's no brain information that's in there. It's good that won't change. You're still the chairman. I'm still the clerk. Things like that.
Will you identify, Brian, the bits that we need to look at?
Oh, yeah. No, she's already done that. It's brilliant. She's highlighted them in yellow.
Then I'm happy to help.
Yeah.
It's really good because it just needs localised contact.
That's what I thought.
Reg wants to come
but you, and you guys have to adopt it, obviously. You have... I'm trying to be careful. I'm not trying to foist it upon you. You're the councillors.
No, I think
you make
the
decision.
Really
yeah, yeah. You know.
And Reg, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, at one time the council had all this. They had an emergency, they called it the emergency planner. Emergency planning department came to your order. They had a bunker down below, they had one over on the Downs, and all that was just out of the Cold War sort of knock on.
I used to be part of that, Rich.
But yes, each area had its own plan. They used to do these tabletop exercises.
Yeah.
And they had one for Seaview and Nettleston where I think the thing was 2 tankers collided out there.
Yeah.
Collided with a cruise liner. And when the people came in, we brought them into the yacht club. There were people there who marked off their names, addresses, where they went, looked after them.
Yeah.
It was all done.
It was a guy called Keith Story, wasn't it?
And the wheel again, wasn't it?
I think Keith Story ran it.
Yeah, there was 2. Yeah, Mike somebody as well was up
there. Yeah, I was part of that for quite a number of years.
They really took it. The lady could open up that was then Summerfields in Newport. She had the keys of Summerfields. She could go in and open it up and had all the food activities.
I was part of that because I went from Whiteland, as you know, and we had a thing called Soul Fire and Soul Spill. Soul Spill is two oil tankers making a mess in the Solent, and then Soul Fire is a ship on fire, and you might have to bring casualties to store.
We should request the keys to the Wishing Wells gin store so that people can have gin.
In case of emergency.
Because the water will be off, and they'll need to drink something. Yeah.
So,
Brian, I'll vote for that.
Yeah, that's right, Roy. Yeah, yes, marvellous.
I think Brian did cool. too.
I'll set a meeting up, and I'll send it to all the councillors. And for those of you who are interested, we can discuss, you know, how we take that forward. And then
what is Bruce's surname? What is his surname? What is it?
It's a good question, Roy. It's the same as her husband's. I know that.
very good, Brian.
Well, no, her husband. Oh, Lucy Nicholas. That's right, because her husband, I think, runs Aspire, and she runs the this resilience service out of there. But unfortunately, she's disappearing soon because as the pandemic's ending, the funding's ending, and so she's only got a few weeks left now. But she's done.
Oh, let's get the information off her.
Yeah,
let's
she's
get
given
the information off her.
Oh no, she's done it. We've got it all.
Right.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You pass the it
information.
On.
Yeah, the information that's missing is our local information.
Okay. Guys, are we happy for Brian to proceed in that way? Set up a little meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone.
Yeah, great.
Thank you, Brian.
Marvellous.
Okay. I have to say I've got something to do with this, and but I can't help where I live.
Oh, the Solent View Road. Yeah, this is where a resident had. Was up, and it comes up, I know because it's been a year now, and it's happened last year as well.
Last year was horrendous. It was really, I mean, if you think of Nettleston Primary, what happens in the morning and what happens in tea time, it's like that all day down here, and people get so angry, and they can't find someone to park, and they shoot up the road at 40 miles an hour because they got the hump, and then they park on the grass verges, and there's just basically no control. And I wonder what I mean, it's Isle of Wighters, you know, it's not mainlanders coming over just to use Seagrove Bay, is it?
No.
And once again, I'm sorry, it affects me. Right outside my house is the turning circle at the bottom of the road, right by number 50 we spoke about earlier. And it's just basically cars there were being dumped and while they carry their kit down on the beach, and I'll only be 5 minutes gov, and you can't get to drive, and you know, all that. It's just on, and I don't know what we can do about it.
And we look at the entrance contacts, yeah.
Sorry,
if you look at the entrance to Priory Drive,
yeah.
It does actually say no access to Seagrove Bay. Yeah. Can you therefore put that the same in some of the road entries that go onto your estate? I mean, the trouble is, habit now, more and more people are realising how nice Seagrove Bay and Priory Bay is. And it is a lot of white people that are getting to know the area and parking anywhere.
Well, I wish they would. I mean, last year Fiona and I were bringing up a black sack a week off the beach. Bit of crap, you know.
But can we, the other part is can we also communicate to the Isle of Wight Council or Island Roads, especially down where you are, Barry, because of emergency access, because that is what it's a health
in case of flooding.
Well, no, I meant if emergency people going down there, they're blocking places. You know, they're access to emergency.
Well, I wonder if there might be a slightly softer approach. I don't want to see WO lines because I think they're a blunt instrument and they actually increase the speed of traffic. So, and also the residents need to park and visitors need to park and deliveries need to be made. It's just that, you know, you offer some people your hand and they take your arm. I wonder whether we could have summer restrictions, Easter to the end of October, residents only or something like that, or don't want to go down the road with permit.
Sorry, Barry, that's what we have in Gully Road is May to October with a yellow line, but actually if you park between October and May on that yellow line, you're not in breach of the, you know, they couldn't give you a parking ticket. So I don't know whether it might be worth asking Island Roads to, or whoever it is, to put it that in.
I was going to suggest that maybe Brian could find out what our options could possibly be.
Could they not?
Whether it's putting in the road as a white line, you know, the T-shaped white lines that you get on your driveway. But I'm fortunate in a way because the WO lines come all the way down the other side of the road to me, into the turning space, across the bottom of someone's drive, and quite a long way past my drive, at least 6 foot up. So people shouldn't come down, but they do. They come down, they park, won't level with the end of my drive, and it's a hell of a job to get out sometimes. It really is.
Well, yeah, I have the same problem where I live.
I could contact the district steward and ask him what the options are.
Yes.
To see if there's something that could be brought back to you for the next meeting or something.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely. Thank you, Brian.
I don't want this to be my baby, but I have two or three people send me emails and a couple of... And incidentally, this has just actually come to me. We all know that somewhere down the road there's going to be an application for the donkey build. I mean, if parking's bad now, what's it going to be like with another dozen houses in there?
Barry, can I speak? This morning, because of you and because of other people down there, I went down there to Songview Road, and I stood around from 10:05 till 10:15.
Yeah.
And there was three people came down.
Yeah.
One part outside your house, behind a Blue Mini.
Yeah.
Another couple came down in a 4x4, came down to the bottom, had a look round, used it as a turning round, then came back up and tried to park. They saw me looking there, so I don't think they wanted it. And then they moved off. But I do feel that if you have the white line across some of the drives, we don't want to stop people going down there. We can't do
exactly
that. Because people want to go down there. And this morning, one guy, I realised, he was going down there to swim because there was, you know, he's probably got an association. There were seven people swimming down there this morning.
Most dead people go down there, yeah.
out of interest, Barry, you probably know, are there the sort of signs further up the road? I don't know. Are there the right signs further?
No. I think it's no vehicle. I don't think there's any vehicle access to Briary Bay. There is some form of word up there, but it doesn't actually restrict the parking.
No, but so there is a warning. Because I bet you do get on sat-navs and stuff. I bet you get people, you're following a sat-nav going down there. And, yeah.
You might not know this. Yeah. From my house, you know where I live, by road, because you'd know if you want to take your car. How far do you think it is from my house to Seagrove Bay by road?
1 mile.
Did I tell you that?
You did.
Okay.
Well, that's a quick 1 mile.
Yeah. Okay, so can we just ask Brian to write and see what...
If you're happy, sir, I'll do that. I'll contact John and...
John Barry.
Well, not
to propose that.
Thank you. Okay, that's very nice. You can propose it. That's good. Propose...
Second. Okay.
There you go. That's official.
Lovely. McDonald's drive-through to discuss the traffic issues being experienced on the ride to Shanklin Road. Sally.
Sorry, I probably need to express an interest. I work at the vets.
Oh, I know.
Sorry, and it's an absolute frigging nightmare. So I need to... Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure we all know, inconvenienced by this, but that road is not wide enough for the number of people that now are seeking to go into McDonald's and have a takeaway. And they come from both directions, from the Braden Way and from Ryde.
I think,
at the very least, McDonald's need to manage it. But so do the police and Island Roads.
I do know that McDonald's has put some mitigation in.
Can I speak on behalf of my practice, please?
Please do.
Thank you. It's a nightmare. It's cost us clients. It's cost us. There is absolutely nothing we can do. We've involved the police. We've involved Island Roads. We've involved the council. We invite McDonald's. There is absolutely nothing we can do.
What about emergencies?
No, they say the emergency services say if they wanted to get through, they would get through anyway.
No, I mean emergencies for pets.
Oh, yeah, that's a completely different issue. Absolutely. I mean, it's a nightmare for us as a practice. Clients can't get in. We have tried every which way, and there's no solution, honestly. Honestly, we've tried Island Roads, we've tried the police, we've tried council, we've tried McDonald's. Honestly, it's an absolute nightmare for us. Honestly.
I mean, I think it'd be better as a letter coming from the council, because, to be fair, over the weekend, or last week, Ben, was it, the Fighting Cocks at Arrowton had a
rope. They shut down, you're right there.
And the police were called. The police were called. And I think if we wrote as a letter, because I actually took pictures in the summer when I was cycling along there, and as Diane says, it's just a nightmare. It's dangerous for everyone.
It could be so ridiculous.
We, in our defence, as a business, we have called the police repeatedly, and they don't want to know. They do not want to know.
I think it might. I mean, I feel sad for your business, Diane, but I think it might be better, as you say, a letter from our council to highlight that it's a council matter, it's not a private business. If you
know what I think, what you
might that would be absolutely brilliant, because honestly, we're at our wits' end as a business. Honestly,
I'm happy to propose that we formally write a letter to the Isle of Wight Council and to the police.
And Island Road.
Sam Shaw's example over at the Fighting Cocks.
Well, what happened there? So I don't know about that.
Well, they were doing a pig roast. They got so busy, they ended up blocking the road. And the police come along and said, "Is there anything you can do?" And he said, "Oh, close down."
And he did. When I took photographs, when you're on a cycle, you can see how much it's congested.
Yeah.
I came from Tesco's back along to the traffic lights, turned left to go into Great Preston Road, and by the Rosemary Lane entrance, there was traffic congested to there.
Yeah, so,
Well, of course, the traffic congested when you get to McDonald's.
Yes.
Yep.
You'd wait at Fallbrook.
Well, they might be
right down to the traffic lights.
It's horrendous, honestly. I cannot believe that people cannot do without McDonald's. It is horrendous.
I've seen it, Di.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we must. If anyone's used the road, we all must have suffered from that. Like, oh, dear.
Is this problem because of the drive-through, or is it just McDonald's in general?
No, it's two things. McDonald's have offered to put out people to manage the traffic. The guy stands there with a yellow coat on and does absolutely nothing. So our client's trying to come in to see us with sick pets. Put your hazards on. No, it doesn't make any difference. The queues are horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous.
It shouldn't be there. Unfortunately, it is the drive-through that's causing it. So they should shut down the drive-through.
Is it worse because of COVID, guys? Oh, yes,
definitely. I mean, before COVID, it was manageable, but now, because of the drive-through, potentially, from May, it's going to resolve itself anyway.
Until last year, with the shutdown,
it wasn't a problem, but now it's horrendous.
I'm not so sure it'll resolve, because I think people have changed the way they operate their daily life, and I think that it may not resolve itself, but maybe we give it the benefit of the doubt.
I actually agree with you there, Sally. I don't think it'll resolve itself. The few times I've been up there, I've seen it. I've not seen it backed up as far as we're speaking about tonight, but I've seen it backed up, and I've also noticed that a lot of people there, there's meant to be a no right turn coming out of there, and they're all turning right.
Yeah.
No respect for the signage or the, you know.
But that no right turn, Dave, is not official. It's what McDonald's have put up themselves. It's not official. It's not an official sign.
I never knew that. But I'll just say.
Yeah, it's not.
There are other things in there, Dave. I mean, for example, the vets and
Bowls Club. The
industry near you, Di.
Sorry.
The garage, Saddlestones, they have put a no right turn as well. But they've done that for their own benefit, because they know that it's a very dangerous situation to try and turn right.
But the Bowls Club as well. I mean, the Bowls Club has been closed all the way through COVID, so that's not been a problem for them as much. But normally, to be fair, it's not as bad as it's been this last year. Honestly, it's not.
Okay, then. So
the proposal is to Island Road, Isle of Wight Council and the police.
Yes.
And McDonald's. That's McDonald's.
Stating our worry about safety.
Yeah.
And McDonald's. Good idea.
See if everyone's shut down until it's over. and then revert back when times are better.
Okay, yeah. So we're all happy with that, guys. I'll be that Brian's going to do that.
Roy is suggesting we write saying they should shut down. Are you wanting, or do you want to state our safety concerns?
It's the only way, I'm afraid.
They were saying they should
shut down the takeaway.
I'll propose that.
I think it's better than Diane, unless you work there, is it?
You should propose or second it.
Mike, will you propose it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's have a seconder then.
As a cyclist, you're a good person to propose.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Davey. I don't think we can insist on businesses closing down as much as we'd like.
But I can vote, can't I?
No, don't.
You haven't got a
Brian, we're not trying to say close down. But what we're trying to say is this drive-through that's causing it, so people can still go there, park there, and have the meal. But there's no drive-through. It's the drive-through.
Right, it's only the drive-through that's open. The takeaway.
Yeah, it's only the drive-through that's open at the moment. That's the whole problem.
It would be shutting the business down.
Yeah.
Trouble. Okay, guys, we've done that.
Did you have a vote? Sorry, I missed the vote.
Yeah, we all voted yes.
Oh, thank you. I was just blacking out again. Sorry.
Hang on, Reg just wants to say something before the next item.
I'm well aware of this. I've been down all the roads that Diane's been down. Michael Lilly. The next ward over. Yeah. Well, I was just going to suggest maybe you do a joint thing, do your own, but do a joint one with Ryde Town Council, because Michael Lilly's always kicking up about it, and perhaps they'd give you a little bit more strength if you do something together. I don't know. Just a thought.
I think that's a good idea, Rich.
Well, yeah. I've made a note. I'll contact Ryde.
And maybe also the Braiding Council. The Braiding Council.
They must get it.
Braiding Council as well that butts on to us.
Yeah.
Because that's got to affect them as well, hasn't it? The Braiding guy that comes into our bit that way. All three of us.
But the council ain't interested. Island Roads ain't interested.
No.
Police ain't interested.
Well, to be fair, I've spoken to Reg about this in the past.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're concerned. And there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. But any input will be brilliant. Thank you.
I know it feels like banging your head against the wall, but you might just be loosening a brick.
Well, we'll do it anyway.
Hopefully.
We'll remember that.
We'll write some letters anyway.
Okay, thanks, guys. We've got to move on. Brian, correspondence.
I don't think there's anything new. I explained to you we'd had that email from Southern Housing. I have sent it to you all as well earlier today at 5 past 6 or whatever, or 4 or whatever it was. You've all seen we were copied into latest update from the resident Mr. Grillo, who backs onto the recreation ground. He's not very happy with the repair work to his fence, so that's just to keep you informed of that. We've talked about it. I've got the email from a resident talking about the Solent View Road parking situation. A copy of a letter there that was sent to Councillor Ward from the MP there about Eddington Road. You've all seen that. We've got the notices for the appeals that Dave mentioned earlier. We've been sent those through, so that's how we got those. The letter asked us we're going to talk about the brownfield stuff. We've done that. And the last thing is, we were copied onto a note from the Residents Association where they wrote to Councillor Stewart about Eddington Road as well. So they're all things you've seen. There's nothing new there. And they're all issues we're aware of as well.
Brian, do you want to drop straight into finances?
Yes. Any question? So with the receipts and payments, any questions on our receipts and payments for the month?
Sally?
Yeah, could you just tell me what 10 is, admin expenses general, in actual? What's coming to five and a half grand, please?
So, in admin expenses actual... Are you talking about a payment for...
Yes.
For this month?
Yeah. What sort of things go in that category? Just quickly.
Sorry, Sally. I was looking at this one. Sorry, that's why I was getting confused.
Oh, right, you didn't say that.
Yeah, sorry, no, so yeah, everyone's happy with the receipts and payments.
I've got a couple of questions on that, if I may.
Oh, yeah, that's where I'm starting, so far away.
Okay, yeah. So what's the environmental officer services? What do we have to pay for there?
Yeah, so that's an environmental officer. She inspects our park 3 times a week and inspects our toilets daily. And she also goes along and checks the slipway. And she's also the lady who approaches people about dog's mess and stuff like that. So the reason we have an environment officer is because we pay for it. If we didn't, we wouldn't have access to her.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah.
And the Island Bins, Island Road's annual bin contract, is that for just the 2 locations?
Yeah, that's it. That's on the Dover.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, but then you had a question about what goes into admin expenses generally.
Yeah, please.
So there's the sorts of things. We've got a breakdown. I could show you another point, which comes on the budget spreadsheet. But that's things like stationery, some of the IT costs. I have to pay for licenses and things where I end up expensing it back. Stamps, my travel.
Wheelbarrow.
Yeah, the wheelbarrow for my salary. No, yeah. So it's all those kind of things. But if you like, I can send you the spreadsheet again. It's actually got broken down what all the individual sections are.
Okay, thank you.
That's right.
Di, did you want to say something? I thought you had your hand up.
Me?
You?
No.
Okay. Carry on, Brian.
Well, if you're all happy with that, we've missed the grant out. We've got the grant application, in between those, which is the one from the Community Partnership.
Yep.
So this is where the Community Partnership, who do the great job of planting the flowers all around the parish and have borne a lot of the cost of this for a lot of the time, are asking for a £350 contribution towards the plants that have been put in last year. There is money available in the grant pot to pay for this if you were happy to do this.
I think in the current situation, where they aren't able to raise funds and they are doing good things for the community, I think it certainly gives us the opportunity to support this in appreciation of what they do.
So are you proposing
this? Yeah, I propose it.
Councillor Wall proposed the £350 grant.
Yeah, I'll support it.
Councillor College seconded it.
And we're all in favour, I think.
Yeah, all in favour.
That's really good.
Thank you very much, everyone. That's good. Excellent.
So is that it?
Yeah, that's it for finances. Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it for everything then. Has anybody got... anything they want to bring to our attention? I know Dave's got something to say. Can we come to you again, Dave, if you don't mind?
Right, just very briefly, with regards to the neighbourhood plan, made lots of inquiries this week.
Yeah.
And we have a problem in as much as, and I think Vilma touched on this at the previous meeting, the Isle of Wight Council have no supplementary planning document in place. No. This gives us a problem from the legality of the neighbourhood plan if and when we bring it online. It's so at the moment I'm suggesting we hold fire on that for a moment. That's why I haven't been in touch with anyone with regards to forming a working group. What we can do in the meantime is I've been picking bits out of the Benbridge plan. There's no reason why we can't sit down and sort of agree some sort of format we want to follow for it. But at the moment it's on hold. I'll put it on hold unless everyone wants to smash on. But one thing I did find out from a planner is we can have a planning meeting. It's the whole parish, every councillor can be involved, and that will cost us £150.
Yeah, training session, Dave, wasn't it?
To oppose some of these planning applications which come in and some of the dodges that the applicants try to impose on us.
Well, if you like, Dave, I'll put on the next agenda, I'll put it on for you guys to resolve to spend the money. That's training for the whole...
Brian, it might be worth waiting until we've got a full complement of 10 councillors.
Yep, but you could approve the expenditure next month
and then schedule
it when the new people come on board. Yeah, because obviously you get more value out of it then because you're going to have 10 people on the training instead of
That's right.
7.
Okay. So you'll put that on the agenda then?
Yeah, I'll put that on the agenda.
Anything else, Dave?
That's training with the planner, isn't it, Dave, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else there, Dave?
No, that's it, Barry, really.
Okay, well, I'll take the people as you appear on my screen, okay? Di?
No.
Sally?
I've got a couple. I was a bit concerned about the size of Tommy Clark's signage on that bend by the vicarage for St Helens, and I asked Brian if he'd look at it on our behalf. Have we heard any more about that?
Yeah, the planning enforcement team said that I sent them a picture and explained, and they said that unless it was something that wasn't based, I think the I can't remember now because it was a couple of months ago, that they were implying there's not really an issue, and like don't need planning permission unless the sign's bigger than a certain size and the signs aren't, and it wasn't on their land. It looks like it's on land and it's a land-based enterprise, so it probably would be acceptable.
My second question to everyone is, what do people think about the pavement parking that goes on Eddington Road in central Nettleston? It has the sort of advantage in a sense of slowing the traffic down because you've got to work your way through.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's not good for the pavement, and it is dangerous in another sense. And if you were trying to get a pushchair through or a wheelchair, you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. And you might note on the other side of the road, Sally, that there's where the double yellow lines come back from Kerryfields. Right on the end of the double yellow line, there's always a van or two parked there. And it's right on the wrong bend. You know what I mean? You can't see. So you have to go, and then you find yourself oncoming. As you say, it slows traffic down. But I think we mentioned it some time ago.
We did, didn't we? Didn't we take that?
We're going to just extend the, I don't know, 20, 30...
No, yeah. All I can tell you is that was definitely the district steward had put it on, and it's going to be part of an ongoing investigation they've got going. So.
Yeah, because we raised it before.
Over time for an hour, you soon see.
Yeah.
Okay. And then,
Sally?
The Seaview Hotel has said on its website and on its telephone message that it's going to reopen on May the 17th, but I would like them to open their public toilets sooner than that. Could we, as a parish council, write to the owners of the hotel and ask them, please?
I'm happy to ask them what their plans are. If you want me to, I'll send them a note and say what are the plans to do it. If you wanted to try and have an official resolution on we're going to ask them to open up on behalf of them, we'd probably have to do that as an agenda item and resolve all that kind of stuff. Like asking them for information doesn't really require a resolution. Right. But if not, this is kind of a way of we have to be careful because if we're sort of trying to use the parish council's official weight to put pressure on an organisation, we need to do it in public, in full, having advertised it on an agenda, that kind of thing. So happy to ask them what their plans are, because that's fact finding.
Yeah, but once you get the answer, we might need to put something in a resolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's so. If you like, I'll ask them what their plans are.
Cross our legs.
I think it'll be far better received if someone just approaches them.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to send them a sort of half-handed letter from the parish, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I will ask them. I mean, to be fair, I don't know if there's anyone actually in there working for. In the past, when I've contacted them with questions and stuff, they were quite responsive. But I don't actually know if there's anyone there at the moment.
That's the problem at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the security man. I think he might live there. I don't know. He was there a lot last year.
And I will definitely ask them.
My final point is some red signs have gone up on the field between Perry Hill House and the allotment.
Yes, they have.
And they're horrible. Unappealing and not very gorgeous. Can they be made less in your face?
Let me tell you something. So Martine Raby, who, incidentally, for those who don't know, is Jim Ball's daughter, but she manages that land, it's private land, and she rents it out to a farmer in Haven Street called Harold George, and he puts his young bull steers out there and his young heifers. And what you're getting is people walking through those fields with loose dogs. There's no right of way through there or anything like that. You know, and people shouldn't do. And also, exactly the other side of the road, just lower than the old bakery, that's all private land, and also he rents that out to the same farmer. And people are going down... Can't think of
anyway, but they're walking up behind Nettleston School, basically, and there's no right of way through there, and they're leaving gates open. Some people, last year, because she phoned me, and I know her because I used to ride with her years ago, she phoned me, and people getting bolt cutters, cutting the bolts off the gate so that they can use it. So that's why this year she's put some signs up, just to try to keep people out of those stores where livestock's kept.
People are mad. I mean, you could get killed by a cow.
Sorry?
You could get killed by a cow. They're really quite dangerous. They get spooked and charge at you. They'll run you over. I don't understand why anyone would do that.
Whatever happens, let your dog off the lead. They can run cows. Sorry, Guy, you were saying
there's
something.
Also a sign on the gate opposite us now to say exactly the same.
That's right.
I think what they've done is they've protected all their own farmland, which is perfectly acceptable for me.
Yeah, but it's protecting the animals and people really...
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, signs in general are pretty ugly creatures, aren't they? But, you know, at least if something happens to somebody in that field, they shouldn't be there, we've got a sign to point at. You know. But I mean, I don't know if you could have them in green or Frisian coloured or something like that.
Invisible.
That's the other one, yes. Roy?
No. Oh, hang on, yes. What Sally's saying about the toilets being open to see view, I think one person answered it. He said, people shouldn't be, they should be staying at home. What do you do about that? Should be staying at home.
That was the council's poor excuse, wasn't it?
Yeah, so
you're allowed to go out and walk in the village. It's rubbish. Yeah.
The people that are going to the community shop to put some money into our community and keep. So if they suddenly need to spend a penny,
right? Last of all,
yeah,
we seem to have forgotten about the Catholic Church. It needs some tidying up. We need to think about what's going to happen with that.
Well.
They'll
sell it, won't they? And it'll be houses ultimately.
Well, it's better something needs to be done with it. It's getting a state, and it'll get to a state where it will need a lot of work tidying up. Perhaps Sally has some answers for that. The owners.
You just have to approach the Catholic Diocese of Portsmouth and their property team and see what they're.
Would you do that?
Or nominate it as a brownfield site?
Good enough. It is a
site. Thank you, Brian.
If anyone thinks of doing that, knock yourselves out.
Right, okay, that's me done.
Right, and Mike.
No, thank you.
Okay, Dave.
No, fine, thank you.
Becky.
Yeah, thank you.
And I have absolutely nothing. So thank you all very much. It's been a very good meeting, and it's 21:23. And I
thank you
very
much.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.